Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran here with us.
Hello.
So, how are you doing after a busy week?
Yeah, I don't know. Was it busy? I guess it was. Like, work was busy.
For me, it was. But yeah. So, we watched Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny this time last week, actually, because we recorded another episode and we went and watched that. So we're going to be talking about that today in this episode. So as usual, we'll
probably The Flash, because we always talk about that. Yeah,
we'll probably compare it to The Flash at some stage.
And at some stage, the Kraven the Hunter trailer.
Oh, yes. Yes, that too, which I still haven't seen. Do you think they'll have a trailer for it before Mission Impossible?
Hopefully, yeah. Okay. If we make it on time.
Yeah, yeah. So after this, we're going to have to finish recording this pretty quickly, because we're going to go watch an advanced screening for Mission Impossible. I was going to say Fallout. What's this one called?
Dead Reckoning Part One.
What a name. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to be going to watch that after this. So we'll make this swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not in this
coming
movie.
To Australia.
Yeah, I heard people like queued to get her tickets.
Yeah.
And they're like camped outside. Is that necessary? Couldn't you just buy them online?
Apparently it's very hard to get them online.
Ah, so they have like a specific set of tickets that you can buy in person.
Yes. Yeah. They have like a limited amount. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. I could just listen to her songs on Spotify.
Yeah. 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 Taylor's version though, because that's the only one she gets paid for.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What's the other version?
It's whoever a producer was beforehand.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So
that concludes our Taylor Swift section of the podcast.
Yes.
Yep.
Did you have anything about the Met Gala?
No. Did that happen recently? I don't think it happened ages ago, didn't it?
Yeah, but we said there's going to be a segment in.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah. And you talked about like how.
Jared Leto came as a cat.
Cat and then Doja Cat.
Doja Cat came as a cat as well.
Yeah, yeah, and she just meowed.
That's right. Yeah.
And then Roger Federer hosted it.
Yes.
That was a recap from the previous one.
Yeah.
Anything else to mention?
No. But I will mention The Flash at some point.
So Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. So we'll do non-spoilers first. So if you haven't seen the movie, keep listening. We'll signal clearly when we jump into spoilers, which will be later in the episode. In terms of my experience with Indiana Jones, it's pretty, I guess, limited.
You're not old.
Yes, I'm not.
Well, you're old, but you're not that old.
I'm not that old. Yeah. I think Indiana Jones is more like our dad's
era. First one came in 70s.
Late 70s. I think 79. Or maybe it might have been early 80s. But the first three movies released within a decade. So yeah, like late 80s would have been when Temple of Doom, Last Crusade came out. And then obviously Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out in 2008. And then 15 years later, we've got this one coming out. So this is the first one that's not directed by Steven Spielberg. It's directed by James Mangold. He's a good director from his previous works anyway. So he's known for, probably most known for Logan.
Ford v. Ferrari is pretty good.
Ford v. Ferrari, which is the one he did after that. And he also did The Wolverine before that, the one in between. What was the first Wolverine movie?
I don't think he did that one.
He didn't do that one. Yeah, no. He didn't do that one. So he did The Wolverine and then he did Logan.
No, did he do The Wolverine?
I'm pretty sure he did The Wolverine, yeah.
I don't think he did The Wolverine. Oh, I think okay. He did Logan, but I don't know if
he definitely did Logan. Well, yeah. He's known for Logan, but I'm pretty sure he did Wolverine as well. Yeah, he did The Wolverine 2013.
Okay. Yeah. He did do Wolverine Origins, but
he didn't do Origins, yeah, which is not good.
Yeah.
We've got 80-year-old Harrison Ford reprising his role as Indiana Jones in this, along with some returning cast members as well as some new cast members. So we can get into our thoughts on all of those. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is obviously one of the prominent characters in this. She features a lot in the trailers. So, she plays the goddaughter of Indiana Jones, and we'll get into our thoughts on that. A lot of people either like it or really don't like it, her character.
Yep.
John Williams is the composer for this one again. So he's done all of them, and this is interesting. So box office wise, I think we need to talk about this because
The Flash is doing bad still.
The Flash is doing very bad.
Yep. But this is doing slightly better, but still not good.
So it's been 3 weeks. We're going to talk about Flash for like a minute. It's been 3 weeks since Flash came out. So when it opened, it obviously opened number one, but it was like way lower than what it was meant to open. In week two, it dropped like 60-something percent in terms of the first to second week box office. And I think it was like fifth in the US. This week, it dropped another 60% something along those lines. So now it's like eighth in the US.
Which is bad, yeah.
Which is pretty bad. I mean, for a new movie that's a big – it's got Batman in it. It's a movie with Batman in it. It's not good. But this is also not good. So in terms of box office so far, it's done about $165 million worldwide. It was very, very below expectations in terms of the US domestic box office. And the budget is $300 million. So generally $165 million, if the budget was like $100 million, it's probably okay. It's probably going to make its money back. But because the budget was so inexplicably high,
it's probably going to be a bomb.
It's not doing well, which is the same issue that Flash didn't do well anyway, but Flash had a very high budget as well. And this is kind of the story of this summer in general, because there's been a lot of box office disappointments, and it's not necessarily because they didn't make that much money. They just had such big budgets and they just couldn't make those budgets back.
I'm inclined to blame Kathleen Kennedy.
For all of them or just this one?
Everything. Yeah. Okay. Just not even just movies, just everything that's wrong with the world is Kathleen Kennedy's fault. Yeah.
But yeah, ever since, and it's not just like one, it's not just Kathleen Kennedy, it's not just Lucasfilm or Disney, it's basically every studio. So Warner Brothers with Flash, Fast X for Universal, and then we had
This
for Disney, and then also
Ant-Man
as well for Disney Marvel, Little Mermaid again for Disney. So it hasn't been a great summer, US summer of
probably
releases.
Because the movies aren't great either.
Could be.
Yeah.
Also Elemental, which I didn't mention, and we're probably not going to be getting around to watching or reviewing that, but that also, it's kind of made some money back. But also still a disappointment. It's like the second or third lowest Pixar movie ever, like in terms of box office, and that's including like Toy Story in 1995. So if you adjust for inflation, it's like by far one of the lowest. Speaking of inflation, so this movie is also the lowest in terms of the Indiana Jones franchise. So Raiders is the highest when adjusted for inflation, and then Last Crusade, and then Temple of Doom, and then Kingdom of Crystal Skull, and then this. And it's likely to stay in that order.
People probably just don't care about Indiana Jones anymore, or not enough people that are old enough to know it. I'm going to the theaters to watch it.
At least, like, so the other Lucasfilm franchise, which is Star Wars, there's always been some Star Wars stuff.
There
like,
was Star Wars in the middle, so because of the prequels. So
yeah, like, there was a prequels, but then even between the prequels and the sequels, there was Clone Wars, and there's always, like, some Star Wars stuff happening, either animated or something.
But there hasn't been anything Indiana Jones. Yeah. They make Indiana Jones-like movies, though. Like, there's lots of, like, adventure. Indiana Jones-like movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is still, like, the quintessential adventure action movie. Well, the original ones, anyway. So I guess we can jump into our thoughts on this. Again, spoiler-free. So, positives. I thought the movie starts with an action sequence. Apart from the wonky CGI, I thought that action sequence was pretty good. It was kind of like the old Indiana Jones movies. And it does have a young Indiana Jones in it, which is not a spoiler because I think they kind of show some of that in the trailer. So there is some de-aging stuff that they do in this movie. That isn't always good.
Yeah.
I think it's good like when it's like a still is not talking. But once he talks, firstly, you can tell that it's older Harrison Ford.
Because of his voice, yeah.
And it just doesn't look...
It looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
Even though it's in the dark, it looks weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a negative, but I thought some of the action in this movie was pretty good.
I like that scene. Yeah. I think the first 20 minutes was solid.
Yeah.
And the last half an hour, 20 minutes was solid.
He does some Indiana Jones stuff, yeah.
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 But the middle was just a bit boring, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone's pretty good in this, though. Like, everyone, Harrison Ford's really good in this. Mads Mikkelsen's pretty good. I know people hate Phoebe Waller-Bridge in this, but I think she's actually pretty good in this.
Yeah, I think people are expecting that character to be, like, the one that makes Indiana Jones look, like, bad and, like, tries to one-up him every time.
But she doesn't.
But... She doesn't. I mean, that's not what happens in the movie. So
if that's what you thought,
yeah.
What like are the people that hate this character people that haven't seen the movie?
Yeah, because I think they were expecting her to be like, I guess, like Rey in like.
Look, she's educated. Like she studied archaeology, so it's not like she's just come out of nowhere.
But
and knows
she doesn't
all this
know
shit.
More than
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Yeah. Like it's pretty evident in the second half of the film that Indiana Jones is.
Smarter.
It's like he knows more. He's just more experienced. He knows his stuff.
He's older.
Yeah.
And obviously not as good physically, which makes sense because he's 80 years old or something.
I think in the movie he's meant to be 70.
Which is still very old.
Yeah. He does look good for his age.
He does. He looks great for 80. Yeah. He looks, if you look like that when you're 80, you're doing very well.
Yeah.
People say she's too mean. Like, that's her character. She's meant to be mean. And then she learns how to.
Yeah. Well, she is mean at the start, but she has a bit of an arc and she
gets better. Yeah.
She evolves. So I actually thought she was.
I thought she was pretty good.
She was pretty good. Like, she wasn't like.
If anything, I thought the kid was a bit annoying.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was not just annoying. It was just completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to hate any character, hate that character.
Yeah. I thought that kid was a bit unnecessary, but. There's some good Indiana Jones stuff in this movie. I just think the story was...
It had probably one too many locations. Like, they go to this place to get this thing, and then this place to get this thing, and then they go to...
It had some, like, unnecessary plot points as well. Like, there's a subplot of, like, him getting framed for something, and, like...
Yeah, yep.
Which never actually comes... Like, they kind of forget about it halfway through.
Never comes to anything.
Yeah. So, like, I think there was a few too many subplots. And the story was interesting, but I guess like
the middle just meandered. Yeah. Like there was just like location to location, And the action in the middle is not great. Like, there's a couple of car chase scenes and stuff, but it just all looks very CGI and not great.
I think that's a problem with this movie. And I guess they wanted to do it with Harrison Ford, which is fair enough. But he is 80 years old, so he's not going to be doing stunts. And the difference between this movie and the first three movies is a lot of the action in the first three movies was practical, and you could tell that it was practical. It looked real. And that's why those movies still age pretty well, even to this day. This
it's the same problem with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's a lot of CGI.
Yeah. This is probably might be even more CGI in this one.
Yeah.
And it's not particularly good. Like, it's okay, but it's not going to age well. Like, if you watch this in, like, 5 years' time, it's not going to look good.
I did really like the ending, though. Like, there's some twists and stuff that happens at the end, and I'm like, oh, that's actually – I did see that coming. It's cool. Yeah. I think it's okay. Like, it's genuine. It finished with a good ending, which made me come out of it being like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But the middle, I was pretty bored.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if you've seen that interview with Harrison Ford where they ask him, I sent it to you, but they're like, oh, if you had the Dial of Destiny, where would you go back to? And he's just like, I'd go home. Yeah. And like halfway through his movie, I just wanted to go home because it was a pretty late show as well. It's definitely longer than it needs to be.
Oh, yeah, that's not the problem. It's probably half an hour too long. Yeah.
Which is, there's an easy way to reduce these budgets. Like, I understand there was like COVID stuff with this movie as well, which might have bloated the budget a bit, but it didn't need to be this long. So if you shorten the movie, obviously you're going to need less money. And it's, I think they got to think about, because a lot of these movies, they have to make like close to $1 billion to actually be profitable. And that's just not feasible.
I don't think people care about Indiana Jones enough to, some people maybe do. Well, evidently some people do because they're, hate Kathleen Kennedy for ruining their favorite character or something, but
well, that's the narrative anyway, but
I just don't think it's that entertaining. I don't think it's the character's problems or the story's probably there. It's just too long and the action's not that great.
Yeah It just doesn't have like the, I guess the old ones just had some.
I like the cave parts at the end felt like Indiana Jones, and the train part at the start felt like Indiana Jones.
But everything in between was, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also like some big name actors, like Antonio Banderas is in this. Like, why? It was like a really insignificant role.
Also, Boyd Holbrook is like the henchman, but he doesn't actually do that much in this movie. Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen was good though.
Yeah.
I thought he was good.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty
good. It was actually a pretty good villain overall.
I think everyone's pretty decent in what they're given to do. It's just some people aren't given that much to do.
Yeah. And this is definitely the last, at least with Harrison Ford, this is the last.
Oh, yeah. He's not doing another one.
Indiana Jones movie. So it was good to see him in the character once more. He definitely did. He's good in this movie.
He
was good.
He's good. He's pretty good in everything he does. Even though he doesn't care about most things, he's pretty good in whatever he does.
Yeah, imagine if he actually cared, like, the output that we'd get.
Once again, I think I brought it up in a previous episode, but you should watch Shrinking if you like Harrison Ford, because he's really good in that.
Yeah, you did mention that. It's on Apple TV Plus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else, non-spoiler? It's just a very average movie. Mediocre.
But also the amount of hate it's getting, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
There was also some, like, I think Disney made some mistakes in terms of the way they wanted to promote this movie. So for some reason they released this at Cannes. And it got very early negative buzz. Because obviously the crowd that goes to Cannes aren't gonna like this movie. It's not made for that kind of audience, firstly. None of them are. I don't think any of the Indiana Jones movies would be.
Yeah.
But this one certainly not. So that was not a good step from them, because that led to like a low Rotten Tomatoes score early. And a lot of people, like, because it is financially difficult times at the moment, like, people aren't going to go and watch every single movie like we do, because we we do this show, but like most people wouldn't just go watch everything. So a lot of people are actually looking at reviews, and if they've got good reviews, they're more likely to go watch it now rather than before. So that was probably a mistake from Disney. And
Yeah, some of the narrative around it that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is the main character, and
have you heard there was a rumor like before Cannes.
Oh, so
like,
that she would go back in time and then she and would like replace him.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
That is not the story. It would have been.
She's not the main character either.
She's not, yeah.
Yeah. Like she's as much of the main character as Mutt Williams is the main character in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, or
probably, yeah,
like
probably
Short Round is the main character in the second one.
Yeah.
Or like, what's his name? Sean Connery is the main character in Last Crusade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a supporting character.
She's like the same as those characters, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably even better than Mutt. Mutt was not great. I know a lot of people hate Mutt. But then there's some people coming out, they're like, oh, why was a Mutt in this?
Yeah.
Like, you hated Mutt. Why do you want him in this?
Yeah. And they kind of find a way to write him out of the story as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other narrative is that they always make their, like, childhood heroes, like, grumpy old men that are, like, at the end of their lives, but they're really miserable.
Harrison Ford is. Well, like, he kind of is, actually. He's pretty miserable in real life. I don't know if he's actually very happy, but, like, what do you want him to be? Do you want him to be 80 years old and just, like, the same as he was when he was 40 and just running around and, like, doing flips and shit?
I can sort of see where people are coming from because they're like, oh, they make him...
But that was his character arc in the movie anyway. So if you take that away from this movie, then he has no arc.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they went for.
Yeah.
They are saying that it's very similar to Han Solo in Force Awakens.
It is a little bit. Yeah.
It is a little bit. Yeah, definitely. It's not like Luke, I don't think. It's not that bad in terms of like he's not that miserable.
He's getting divorced, so he's as miserable as someone that's getting divorced would be.
But he still has like his charm and stuff, so
he kind of picks up as the movie's going on as well. He's pretty miserable at the start, but then as he starts doing stuff, he starts getting a bit more Indiana Jonesy's. I like the way he punches people. Harrison Ford has a very specific way he punches people.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah.
And they still had the sound effects that they used in even the previous. It's a bit more exaggerated, like the punches in these movies. So they kept with that. And even the tone of, like, there's certain shots that Steven Spielberg used to have in the previous movies where, like, there'd be a chase scene, but then he'd have the camera, like, kind of panning, but then he'd stop at like an object or like an animal or something.
He does
that in this
or something.
In this there's a donkey. It's very Steven Spielberg like or like the previous Indiana Jones movies. So James Mangold, I think he kind of tried to keep to the Steven Spielberg was meant to actually direct this, but he
doesn't want to do Nazi stuff anymore after Schindler's List.
And also, I think he was doing his own movie, right? His autobiography.
Is that like that show? Is it a movie or is it a show?
It's that movie that came out.
Fleshman Says or something. Is that it? Fleshman's. Could be. I can't remember what it's called.
It's the
The Jesse Eisenberg one.
No. That's what he's doing now, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the movie that released last year, which is meant to be sort of about his own life. The Fablemans. So I give it a cognitive recalibration, but it's very, very borderline.
Pretty mid. It's very mid. Yeah. It's better than The Flash, though.
I would have to say it is better than The Flash.
Yeah.
But Flash is not bad. So go watch it.
No, it's very bad. Watch this over The Flash, but probably don't watch either of them.
It's executed a bit better than Flash. overall. It's just not that interesting. That's the problem. It's like, it's not that.
I would watch the first 20 minutes and the last half an hour again and just skip the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So James Mangold's doing a Star Wars movie next.
Maybe.
Is it maybe or?
Well, you know, they just fire their directors when they want to, so.
Yeah. Well, I think he'll probably do that movie.
I don't know. If this does pretty bad, I think they'll fire him.
Yeah.
Well, this fired, what's his name?
Taika.
Christopher
Trevorrow.
Trevorrow, yeah, him.
Yeah.
They fired the Fantastic Four guy.
Oh, yeah, Josh Trank.
Both of those guys after they did, like, bad movies, so.
Fired D&D.
Oh, yeah, after Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they. But they should let James Mangold. Like, there's stuff in this. He's a good director.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
This is not going to do well, though. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think Taika Waititi's still doing his one. But they might fire him as well. Thunder. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool. Do you give it a call to Rick Calibration?
I think so. I won't watch it again.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll jump into spoilers then. So if you haven't seen Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, go watch it. Come back to this point in the episode and listen to our spoilers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spoilers.
Yep.
So where should we start?
We'll talk about the end.
The end? Oh, we could talk about that train sequence. I thought that was good at the start.
That was good.
Apart from the de-aging stuff.
Yep.
Which, I don't know if they'll ever... Eventually, they'll get to a point where it's really good, I'm guessing.
Where it's watchable.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some movies do it better than others. Like Captain Marvel did it pretty well, where it's very decent. Yeah.
And maybe for that, because Sam Jackson, I don't think they had to de-age him that much. Because he still looks.
Yeah. The problem with de-aging, though, is that when they move, you can tell that they're an old person.
Yeah. And also in Captain Marvel, they didn't get him to do too many action sequences.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, he's the main character in this, so it does make a difference. But
I've seen it done better in other movies compared to what it's done in this.
Yeah. Like Paul Walker in Fast and Furious.
That's, if you go back and watch it, it's a little bit like, at the time I thought it was okay, but now when you go back and watch it, you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, but the action sequence was good.
Mads Mikkelsen gets his face caved in, but then he somehow just is fine.
Yeah, I thought we'd see him in the present day, and he's got some
scars or
brutal scar or something. Yeah. But he's
just fine. Yeah.
He's got a bit of gray hair, but that's it.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's based off that. He's probably going to be in Oppenheimer, the guy that's based off, isn't he? Oh no, this is a space race, wasn't it?
This movie.
So, yeah, this movie's about the space race. Yeah.
Yeah, but
he's based off a real bloke.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, his narrative is that he's going to go back in time, kill Hitler, and take his spot.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why he wants the dial.
And that's based off a real thing as well, apparently.
Archimedes' dial.
The dial, yeah. It's like the oldest computer or something. That's what they think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do too much research into the back. I know the actual battle that they go into at the end of the movie is a real thing.
It's a real battle, yeah.
Yeah, because actually, pretty sure the Romans win that.
I assume so.
Yeah.
Is it Romans versus Greeks?
The Romans are the ones that are invading, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure they win that.
I assume they did. We don't know. We're not historians. So, don't take our word for this.
Yeah. But Archimedes is there and they meet him. So that was, I didn't get how the dial works because it said 1939, but it looks like they went to much earlier than that, centuries earlier than that.
I think the dial's only, they miscalculated it. The dial only goes to that point in time.
Oh, so it's created specifically to go back.
To go back to that point.
That point, yeah.
Because if you look at the part in the cave, Archimedes is wearing the guy's watch. So it's a closed loop.
Yeah.
So you can't change anything because it's already happened.
Yeah. Like Tenet.
I don't know. Was Tenet a closed loop? I don't know. It could have been. So I think it's a closed loop. So they were always going to go back there. So he could never, Mads Mikkelsen could never kill Hitler because he can't.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Hitler would already be dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where if Indiana Jones doesn't get involved at all, they just die anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I guess that's true. If he wasn't involved in this movie and he just let them do whatever they want.
Yeah, they would go back to 212 AD or whatever.
And they would have just died.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But I thought that twist was good. It's good that they did. Because at the start of the movie, and it was a good contrast with Raiders, where he's a lecturer in Raiders in all the movies, but he was you see him lecturing in Raiders, and the students are
they're engrossed in what he's saying.
Not necessarily in what he... Well, some of them are engrossed
in him. Yeah.
In what he's saying. Some of them are engrossed in him. But in this, it was a good contrast because...
They just don't care.
They just don't care about what he's saying. But at the start, he talks about that battle.
Mm.
And he's obviously quite passionate about history in general.
I think it's kind of And at the end, he's like, oh, I would rather just stay in history.
Yeah. But people don't like this, how, what's her name in the movie? Phoebe Waller-Bridge's Helena?
Helena,
she punches him and kind of takes that choice away and makes him come back to present day.
Mm.
But she also had to do that because if he stayed there, firstly, everything that he did would have been forgotten. And he would have just stuffed up history if he stayed there.
Also, he would have died pretty much.
Yeah, he would have died because there wouldn't have been proper medicine.
They wouldn't have been able to fix him. Yeah.
So he would have just died maybe a day after she left. So
yeah,
it wouldn't have been a great way to leave.
I think he's because he retires at the start, they make him retire at the start of this movie as well. His son's dead and his wife's divorcing him. He's
there's no point going back.
Yeah, I don't want to go back. But she's no, there's always a point. Yeah.
So he does go back and his wife comes back.
Yeah.
And Sala comes back.
Yes.
Yeah. And
a lot of people are disappointed that he did take Sala with him as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sala might have died. Would you still be disappointed if Sala went with him and he died? He did shoot Antonio Banderas is dead. That was a really funny part in the movie when
I don't know,
Antonio Banderas dies and then they get away.
And they blow up the ship.
And right. They blow up the ship and she's like, oh, I never miss. And he's like, my friend just died.
Yeah, like we laughed at that, but was that meant to be funny?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, he's like, my friend just burned.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we can talk about that kid. What's his name? Teddy? Oh, I'm just making that up.
I can't remember his name.
Let's just call him Teddy.
Yeah. He could randomly fly a plane for a bit of it, I guess. Yeah.
I think that was too much of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like,
just because he knows about planes, even doesn't mean he could fly one.
And they, like, just to be safe, they're like, this is pretty ridiculous. Let's have like another pilot yeah. sleeping in the bag.
Randomest dude that just randomly got to go to 212 AD.
Yeah. But like, I can see why they had that because they needed another plane to get out of it.
To get out. Yeah.
So
they needed that other guy. Yeah.
But they could have easily made Helena fly that other plane.
Yeah.
And just not have this Teddy character.
They could have done that. Yeah. Very much. Shit, I was going to say something. I like the part when the kid handcuffs that big dude to the grate and lets him drown, though. I enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
It was so brutal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh at that, but I guess in hindsight, it is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny because he's like this huge dude.
Yeah, and just gets defeated by this little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they'd bring back
Short Round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they probably would have if they could have done. I don't know. It was probably too late to bring him back.
Yeah. Well, considering his acting again and he's just won an Academy Award, I thought it would have been even for like a little scene at the end, maybe, but doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Anything else that we missed?
There's a car chase in the middle, which I didn't like that much.
Was that the one on the tuk-tuk
one? Yeah. I thought that was better than the one on the horse, though. The one on the horse was not good.
Yeah, the one in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them were pretty average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cave stuff was good.
The actual
archaeology
type stuff. Yeah, yeah, that was good. That's where Indiana Jones is in his element, like that's he's solving stuff. And
honestly, they should have just done more of that and then cut out half an hour. If they wanted this to be 2.5 hours, just cut out.
Just do more. Yeah. Yeah.
They could have skipped Antonio Banderas' part completely.
Yeah. What were they doing in that part again? They got underwater.
They got that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the other half of the dial, right? Isn't that
what? No. The other half of the dial is at Archimedes' tomb. But they get a map to Archimedes' tomb.
Yeah.
But they could have just had gone to Archimedes' tomb.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't they just have known when Archimedes' tomb was?
Well, they need to get the map. They figured out another way. Or like,
yeah.
Just something more interesting than what it was.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that interesting.
And but maybe it was worth it for that line where he says, my friend has died.
Yeah, it was just for that. And they hired Antonio Banderas specifically for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have like that many lines. He's just...
Does it? Yeah. He's just randomly in this, I guess. Just friends or something. Yeah.
Him and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
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 Maybe. Aren't they both in Expendables?
Possibly. I don't know if they're in the same one. Yeah. That's one movie Harrison Ford completely phoned in and he's not good in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't do any action in that, I'm pretty sure.
No, he's like in it for like 2 minutes. He says. I think he flies a helicopter or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from that, there's not too much to say. There's a couple of good scenes on the boat, actually, when Harrison Ford talks about what he would do if he wouldn't go, or Indiana Jones talks about.
Mutt Jones. Why do I keep saying Mutt Williams? Is that a guy? I don't know. But Mutt Jones.
Is it Mutt Jones? I think it is Mutt something else.
Is it Mutt Williams Jones? his last name's definitely Jones.
Well, it should be, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Mutt Jones. But anyway, he died in the war.
I'll find what his name is. He died in the war, and then as a result of him dying, him and his wife get into
divorce,
which is very similar to Han Solo. Like, his son doesn't die. His son turns bad. And then him and Leia, I don't think they're divorced, but they split.
Yeah.
So it's similar. I'm trying to find what this guy's name is. Give me a second.
Just type in Indiana Jones' son.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom.
I bet I can find it before you do.
Oh, yeah.
It's Mutt Williams. I was right. Yeah. Why is it Mutt Williams?
Yeah, it's Mutt Williams. Yeah. That's why
Okay, so he's born Henry Walter Jones, and he changes it to Mutt Williams.
Okay.
Interestingly, Henry Jones is also Indiana Jones' name. He's Henry Jones Jr. Oh. Sean Connery's Henry Jones Sr.
Yeah.
And then Mutt Williams, Henry Jones III.
Henry Jones Jr. Jr.
That's not how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, not much to say. Not much else. It's okay.
Yeah. I guess if you really like Indiana Jones, well, saying that, I don't know. Maybe if you really like Indiana Jones, you won't like it. But I think there's some stuff in there that you might enjoy.
Watch it on streaming, I guess. It'll be on Disney Plus at some stage. So, yeah. They're not going to make another one of these for a while.
Yeah.
I think they're going to...
They're going to ease off on this for a bit.
Yeah. They're going to let it rest for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, if you were to recast Indiana Jones, because for a long time they were like Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be him anymore.
Harrison Ford doesn't want anyone to do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's... Sometimes... I don't know if Harrison Ford's joking or if he's not sometimes.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to... To be honest, they don't need to make any more of these.
Mm. Like, well, they could make a new character.
Yeah, just make another... Like, just do another adventure movie.
Mm.
You don't need to keep making Indiana Jones or, like, the same franchise. Like, just let it rest.
The Mummy is kind of like an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could just do that.
Or, like, Uncharted was a kind of...
But not good.
Not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other adventure movies that you could do, so... Harrison Ford will be returning as...
not returning, recast as.
Recast, yeah. Well, yeah, he'll be in Thunderbolts as Thunderbolt Ross.
No, it's in Captain America New World Order. No, it's called Brave New World now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
He's in Thunderbolts.
Say he'll be in Thunderbolts. I don't know if he's officially cast in Thunderbolts.
It's his team.
I think they said he was going to be in Captain America, but they did say officially if he's in Thunderbolts or not.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they have said that, but yeah.
I would expect him to be in that because...
All that shit's going to get delayed deluxe though, because, yeah, nothing's going to come out next year.
Well, there's, yeah, multiple things, like Rider Strike and all the other stuff. So,
yeah.
So next is Mission Impossible, which we're watching straight after this. And then we've got Oppenheimer and Barbie, which is the...
I think those are going to do really well box office, just because there's a lot of buzz behind both of them already.
You would have to look at the budgets, but I don't think they're as high as this for sure.
Mm.
Even Oppenheimer wouldn't be that high, I don't think.
I think they'll do quite well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to see how Mission Impossible does, because this also had COVID-related... bloating of the budget, so it also needs to do pretty well. But Top Gun Maverick did exceptionally well last year, so maybe writing off that, it should do all right. Generally, the Mission Impossible movies are decent anyway.
They do okay, yeah.
Has there ever been a really bad one?
I think the third one's the lowest.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that bad. I think it's coming off the second one, which is
the really second bad. One's not that good.
But the box office was good.
Yeah.
Fourth one's still one of my favorites.
Ghost Protocol?
Yeah. I think the fourth one, that the Burj Khalifa scene is the best scene in all of the movies, but then after that scene, it dies off a little bit.
That
movie in general.
It
peaks at that scene, yeah.
Yeah. The one where he holds onto a side of a plane?
That's five.
Rogue Nation, right?
Yeah.
That one's all right.
I thought it was okay. I like Ghost Protocol better up till that Burj Khalifa scene.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this one goes. Cool. Did you see that there's Nun 2 and it's coming out in September?
No, and damn there's
a trailer.
Shit. Do you know why they call him the Rhino?
Just okay.
I'm guessing that's in every trailer now.
I'm just surprised that they're making a sequel to that movie. But then I looked at how much it made, the first one, and it made sense. The
first one was so shit, though.
It was not good, but it was low budget, and it made a lot of money for like relative to his budget. So I can see why they're making another one. But in the trailer, remember Danny, that kid that had the snake coming out of his mouth?
Is that in the Nun 2?
In the Nun 1.
In Nun 1?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember very little. There was one scene I remember. They're like, it's like a wide shot, and I think it's a priest, and there's a bunch of maybe dead bodies on the ground,
and then
one of them gets up, and it's the nun, and it looks hilarious.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny parts.
That happens, isn't it, or have I imagined that?
I actually can't remember that movie either, but it sounds like something that might have happened. That movie was more of a comedy than a horror, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nun 2. Let's see what happens with that. We'll watch it reluctantly.
We might have to watch it. I don't want to, but we might have.
Reluctantly watch it, and we'll see what happens. All right, so if people want to get in touch with us about their thoughts on Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, how they go about it.
So we're on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, or you can email us at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
Cool. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so via giving us a review on Spotify and iTunes if you're listening audio. But if you're on video, just subscribe to the channel and leave us a comment if you want to ask us something, or if you've got something to say. If you hate Kathleen Kennedy and want to voice
and love The Flash.
And love The Flash.
Yeah.
And Black Adam.
I'm going to see how long I can keep bringing up The Flash for.
This whole year.
Like when I'm going to see what point I forget about The Flash.
Never.
Yeah.
Cool. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. That brings us to the end of this one. So we'll see you next week for Mission Impossible.
Dead Reckoning Part 1. Yep. Which leads on to Fast X Part 2.
Double X.
Triple X.
Yeah. Triple X being the third one.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. See you later.
See ya.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.